This is Sunday morning. This is October the 11th, 2020. We've been doing a series called Learning to Flow in the Supernatural, and the title is called Whatsoever He Says to You, Do It. This is how we learn to walk in the supernatural. We learn to listen to what He has to say, and then we do what He has to say. The church somewhere along the way stopped going fishing. They quit going fishing. Instead, they built buildings and started luring the fish into their buildings and programs. They sit in their little four walls and they lure them in with dramas and light shows, good bands. Even movies sometimes. I'm telling you, it's the truth. This isn't worship. It's what I call worshiptainment. It's what it's become. All right, let's turn to John chapter 4. I'll start with verse 1 there. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of the water shall thirst again of this water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that is Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, no tradition. Tradition will not be the place to worship any longer. Tradition. Her tradition. His Jewish tradition. Ye worship ye knew not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. This is about a spiritual relationship with Jesus, not about a church membership or affiliation. Okay, with that, let's turn to the book of Acts. It took us a lot of years to understand why the Lord pulled us out of what was traditional and realized that there wasn't something wrong with us. It was something wrong with the system. And He wanted us to come out and be taught by the Holy Ghost and to learn to walk in the Spirit and obey the Spirit, because your spiritual act of worship is to renew your mind to God's will, to know His will, and then accept the grace to do the will of the Father. That's your worship. That is your worship to God. It's not jumping around and saying hallelujah and singing songs. Not that we don't worship the Father and praise the Father. But our spiritual act of worship, renew your mind. Get that traditional, what you come up under, out of you. Get my mind, my will, set in your minds. And when you do, it says you will know the will of God. And then it goes on to start talking about the grace gifts. It goes on to talk about, I've got something for you to do. This is part of your worship. I've got a series online that I taught on TV, New Testament Worship, and this is what the hell the Lord led me to teach it. I said, worship's different than you thought. You've been taught. Because you think you go Bonnie Hop and sing, ha, 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 ha. You've worshiped. And I'm not saying there's not a time and a place for anointed music and worship, but I think we've missed the boat of what true New Testament worship is. Oh, I had a great worship service. Bouncing around, partially clothed. You know what I'm saying? No. That's not worship. Thinking like God, listening to God, obeying God, there's your worship. If I never said hallelujah one more time or he, I didn't do any of that ever again. But I had the mind of God. I listened to God. I obeyed God. I've obeyed God. I've done what He told me to do. That's what it's all about. And it's not about programs to lure the fish in. It's about casting your net out. That's where Jesus met the people. He went about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed to the devil. Now, he did show up at the synagogue at times. He did minister in the synagogue at times. But mainly at the synagogue, all he got was flack. Just like probably I would get if I showed up there and started teaching them what y'all been hearing. Well, I'd rather be teaching what Jesus was teaching and getting the flag that Jesus got, than to be accepted with the tradition, which has no power. I mean, I guess there's a few people gotten healed over the years of the churches we went to, but I never really saw much power. I saw a lot of freight train acting silly, jumping around stuff. That I don't know if it was in the flesh or if it was in the spirit. I don't know. But as far as seeing really power, seeing somebody get up out of a wheelchair or seeing somebody's hand grow out or something like that, I never saw that. But I know over the years, the many years, when the Lord had me out and about doing stuff, and we'd have to pray for people, I'd get reports all the time that something happened to those people. Get notes in the mail. This happened to me when you prayed for me. Did I do it? No. But it was just a simple little prayer. I was just out and about doing my business. And God did something. Simple, not flashy, not traditional, just in the name of Jesus, you know, just go about your business. Wasn't anything, it was spontaneous. It was a divine appointment. And the power of God showed up. I agree with Mike Thompson. If you want to see the power, you're going to have to take it to the streets. because the church is waiting for the fish to jump in their boat. We got the Newsboys this week. That's the lure. We got this big dog coming this week. Everybody shows up. Well, that's fine and good, but I'm telling you, that's not the way that we're supposed to be doing it. I don't believe it. He said, cast out your nets, all you fishers of men. The power of the Spirit, revival begins. They're sitting and they'll put on their billboard, we're having a revival tonight. Really? Where's your boat? Where's your net? Come on, this isn't me talking today. See, like with the first teaching, this traditional thinking, it's stinking. It gets nothing accomplished, it gets nothing done. I want to follow the Spirit. How about you? All right. Chapter 2. Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't you ever think for a minute that you're going about your business and the little appointments that you have, that they're not special, because they are. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Why do you suppose that was? Because they were at the Feast of Pentecost, and so people from all nations were there in Jerusalem. And they heard their own language spoken supernaturally about Jesus. Why do you think that was? So they'd be scattered throughout the known world at that time. All of them could take it back and spread it everywhere. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And they knew, these men don't know my language. Supernatural. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meanest this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Well, I've never heard a drunk speak perfect language in somebody else. All I've ever heard of them slurred words that you couldn't understand. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So these people received empowerment to be saved. And these people that were there took it to their countries. It was to be scattered throughout the world. So what did Jesus say before he went to heaven? We're going to look at that. This is over in Matthew 28. The gospel is never meant to be a camp out. I'm not saying just do stuff. I'm saying be led of the Spirit. Danny had an opportunity yesterday, a divine appointment. A few weeks prior to that, we had a young man come change a filter out in our water system and had a divine appointment. See, he puts them, and they're usually surprises. You know, they're not planned with a program, three songs, and take an offering. They are okay, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He told them to go. Go into the nations. He didn't say send missionaries, which that's traditionally. I know in the wake-up call, one of the things the Lord was the most upset about when he talked to Oral Roberts was the fact that he could count on one hand the missionaries that were actually obeying him and taking the gospel into the nations. Five. Okay, Mark 16. Now, if the Lord didn't tell you to go into the nations, go into your neighborhood, go into wherever. You know what I'm talking about. You don't have to be sent to nations to be a missionary. Be a missionary right in your own backyard. In fact, that's what we are. What is a missionary? It's like an apostle. It's a sent one. Okay. Wherever the Lord has an opportunity, there's your mission field. Okay, Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So he told us to go. I was thinking about something yesterday, not to get off point here, but thinking about the Antifa and thinking about the Black Lives Matter and their thoughts and this black woman of BLM demanding, we're not asking, we're telling you, if we want your house, we'll take your house or whatever we're going to do. And this sense of we should be ashamed that we are white and we're privileged and all of that. And I was thinking about it, and as I was reading that, I just had the Holy Spirit say to me that it's just the opposite in the kingdom of God. Those that have get more. Those who don't have anything, they get nothing. It was talking about the talents, about doing what God's told you to do with what he's given you to do. And he will reward you. He will reward you for what you have done. And to those who had something and they didn't do anything with it, what they have will be taken away and given to the one that did the most. How different it is in the kingdom of God. It just shows you how out of balance our world is. How out of kilter it is. Like I'm thinking, be hard not to blow her out your door, wouldn't it? Okay. All these people in Jerusalem for the feast, they were all told to go and tell the world, their world, about Jesus and what had happened. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see something here that kind of baffling. You'd think someone that saw Jesus when he went back would obey him. I mean, they had a real experience there. This is 1 Corinthians 15:1. Oh, sorry. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of the apostles. My point there being, he was seen of 500, but in the upper room, Acts 1, 12 through 15, talks about there was only 120 that obeyed him and went to the upper room. I'd think if I saw Jesus go up and he told me something to do, that would hang with me and I'd go do it. But they didn't. All right. So Jesus said to spread it to every nation, to every creature. Is it any wonder today that religious institutions are coming down? They're being judged right now. You know that, right? Purged. The swamp is being drained. Okay? Christianity has become a tower. You could say a country club. Something about people just want to build country clubs. I don't know. And they're real exclusive, and they have a snooty air about them, and they don't want you in there. He ain't a member. And if you don't look like we do, you don't drive a car like we drive, or wear the same shoes we wear, or handbag, or whatever, you're just, we look down our nose at you. Okay, now you know why I don't like country clubs. Christianity has become a tower. Mainly like ivory towers, you could say. Just like Jesus prayed and received instructions from the Father every day. That's how we're to live. To me, that's living water. You get fresh instructions every day. The Lord speaks to you every day. I mean, if he doesn't say anything, I guess you don't have to do anything, but that's the point. He went about doing good. He'd get away from the disciples. Sometimes he'd pray all night. And then he'd come into town and say, well, they've got to go to Samaria. He'd be about his business. That's what he did. All right, let's look at Acts. After the day of Pentecost, things changed. Power showed up. They started moving by the Spirit. They were just on their normal routine, going to the place of prayer, and look what happened. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. So they're doing their traditional praying in the temple. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. I wonder how many times they entered that temple when Jesus was around and that man was sitting there and they never noticed him. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John's, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took hold of him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. When I was work, I had a little booth at Trinkets and Treasures. There was a lady come in one day. It was me and the owner and this other lady. And said their mother was going in for heart surgery the next morning, and would we pray? So they asked me to say the prayer. So we got in a circle, and I prayed for, this woman was a widow, recently widowed, and I prayed for her broken heart. That was my words. Well, weeks passed, and this lady come back in, and she said, oh, I got to tell you what happened. The woman actually, she died on the operating table, and she'd been on a machine to keep her alive, and I think it was that morning, about noon, they were going to take her off this machine, and a couple of hours before she was to be taken off the machine, she sat up in the bed. They said her heart came apart. during the surgery. God healed her broken heart. I didn't know what I was praying. Did I do it? No, I didn't do it. But see, this is how God operates through us. It's the Father in us doing the works. Just like it was the Father, Jesus said, it's not me doing the works. And if you watch that series, you'll see that. It made Jesus look like the Son of Man. And the Father was in him doing the works. He was waiting on the Father to help him because he didn't have it within himself. He chose to come as a man. This was his laying aside who he was, Son of God in heaven, to walk as a man so that we'd have a chance. I never thought anything about that. I thought, well, you know, she's a widow, probably, you know, grieving and that kind of thing, not thinking that that was a literal, her heart exploded is what they said. Whatever that means. Never think that what you pray, because we're letting God lead us, and He is inside of us. Just like this morning, what the Lord told me to speak over you, that's not me healing any of you or myself. This is just speaking what God says to speak. This is just obeying the Spirit. It's like, if you'll go do what I ask you to do, then I will back you up. If we're sitting and waiting in a church for something to happen, you might as well forget it. I'm not saying it can't, but I'm just saying, after going to churches for so long and being so dissatisfied, and of course, if you had something to give, if you're not the chosen, then you couldn't participate anyway. Oh, Lord, help us to get these religious traditions out of our thinking so we can be effective for the kingdom of God. Okay. The power shows up when we are out and about. It is spontaneous, fresh, living waters, not stale, planned out, and organized. This is what our banner should be. I don't know what it is, so we'll look in John. John chapter 2. Oh, this, okay. This is the title. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what am I to do with me? My hour hadn't come. In other words, he could not just do stuff. He had to wait on the Father's time. His mother saith unto the servants, whatever he saith unto you, do it. Well, we know the story. Told him to fill the water pots with water, and it turned into wine. The power shows up when we are out and about. Did Jesus plan this? No, in fact, I think he's kind of put out. If you'll notice in the movie, The Chosen, he says, what do you want me to do about it? You know, like, Mom. And it shows very much how he was just so in love with his mother as far as infatuated with her and just seeing to her needs. That painted a really, you could see Jesus really close to his mother. But like, I can't do anything in myself. You know better than that. So he didn't plan it. It was obvious he did not, but God used him because he was in the Spirit with his Father. He walked with his Father. He followed the Holy Spirit. He did whatever the Holy Spirit said to do. Religion, it's dead. Okay, one more scripture. We'll be done with this teaching. John 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jericho, because the Jews sought to kill him, because they were traditional. Now the Jews, Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. One thing that really bothers me, and I've seen it a lot, heard it a lot. ministers bashing other ministers. It bothers me. Because how can you judge another man's servant? If God has told them a certain thing to do, and you want to come in and undermine them, and I, you know, I hope I don't do that. If I do, tell me. But I just, you know, I think we all have different things to do, and we're all following the Spirit, and so we need to leave that alone, because we may not have the inside information they have on that subject they're talking about, too. I get disgruntled with those that don't seem to discern the signs of the times that we're in, especially if they say they're prophets. It bothers me. But, you know, what can you do about that? Everybody has their own area. And not everybody's going to have everything. We all have bits and pieces. But as we come together as a whole, we see a perfect picture. It's kind of like, you know, there's someone that we listen to on YouTube. He's always talking about, I got four corners of the puzzle. And all the guests that I have on, I get another piece of the puzzle. And, you know, when you hear everyone and their perspective and the area they're coming from, it starts to form a picture. And that's exactly right. In the plan of God, every person has a piece. They have a perspective. They have an area God has given them that they seem to have more insight in on maybe somebody else. Wait, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Now, we've been admonished a few times to, we need to be out sending letters out, or we need to have a brochure made, or over the years I've had different well-meaning people suggest these things. The Holy Spirit has never suggested that. I haven't done any of that, and I'm not going to do any of that. They're doing what they're telling me to do what they did. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. When his brethren were gone up, he went up also unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So he didn't let the religious people cause him to get out of God's will. The Lord hadn't told you to do that. Don't do that. I don't care who they are. Prophet so-and-so. You just say, well, I'm not getting that. We're not led by prophets in the old covenant. They were, but not in the new. You understand? You need the witness of the Holy Spirit. All right.